Very happy to be joined now by Browns general manager John Dorsey. John, how's everything going so far in Indy?
It's always a pleasure. You know, it's I find this is a very, you know, the combine has taken on a life of its own here in the last, I'd say, 7 or 8 years. I can remember back in 1984 when I went to the combine in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Superdome, and nobody would talk to you. There was no media there. All you did was work out, and you got competitive on the field. And now this is it's something right now.
It's kind of like the biggest NFL convention you could imagine.
Well, you know, but you know what it kind of is? It's like kind of like, to me, it's always the start of the league year.
Uh-huh.
To me, it represents, you know, this is your first opportunity to see the draft class of that year. Now being 2018, it kind of begins to start getting ready for the next year. And, you know, as we know, the start of the league year comes up mid-March. So it's kind of exciting. But to me, what's really nice is you get to meet these guys finally in person this draft class.
When you watch tape, I'd imagine that's a big portion of the evaluation. But what's it like when you get to sit down and take us maybe behind the curtain for those 15-minute interviews you get to do at the combine? What are you trying to ascertain in those 15 minutes?
Well, what it's hard to ascertain is the guys that are invited to the combine have gone away to different workout sites across the country, and they've been prepared and they've been prepped up on how to interview, and they'll sit down and do mock interviews. So what you want to do is you kind of want to break it down into like a locker room setting and just kind of get them to relax. So they're not going to be very relaxed. But at the end of the day, do they love the game of football? Are they competitive guys? How much intellectual depth do they have? Are they good people at the end of the day? Would you want them? I think it's just one piece of it, because not only is that important, but then the position coaches will sit down with the certain position players here at the combine as well and kind of get to know them. And then the more information you begin to gather, then you'll be able to create a summary upon that particular player.
How do you weigh, you know, the fact that in our society and the way it's evolved, just think about how the combine's evolved, society's evolved, social media, constant scrutiny. You know, how do you weigh that when you're looking at 20-year-old kids who have been kind of pushed into hero status and how they handle that when you get to sit and talk to them and therefore decide, well, what can you do now that you're a professional and you're kind of somewhat out of that collegiate environment?
Well, it's professional football. A man told me a long time ago, in college you played the game of football, but when you get in the NFL, you're going to learn the game of football. And that's kind of what it is. It's big time. Now what you have to do as a young man is you have to earn the respect of grown men. And, you know, there's
who are playing usually, for their families.
Yeah, usually actions mean more than words in trying to gain that respect, because it's what you do between those white lines that matter. It's not all the little tweeters and all that stuff that guys do. It's how you play the game of football. How much do you love the game of football? Those are the guys we want.
What's the most fun for you, watching tape or, you know, coming to the combine, or when you get to have those private interviews where they come in all day and you get to spend all day with the prospect? What do you enjoy the most in your evaluation process?
I like the whole process. I like from the very beginning to the very end. I enjoy the whole process.
Is a perfect day for you watching tape with Elliot and Alonzo and AB and just
no,
everybody
awesome.
Knows you love?
Yeah. No, that's good. That's a time where, you know, you can sit back, you can actually relax, you can have some deep thought, but you're also watching players that could impact your roster. And, you know, there's hoping and thinking, you know, well, that's a good player. You'd like to have him on your team. But we spend so much time together. You create such a family environment, a bond, and that's why it's so important to have guys working together as one. And I couldn't be more proud of how we've approached our two-month plan so far. You know, I thought the pro personnel staff did a great job of preparing the organization for unrestricted free agency. I thought the cap department did a great job of preparing, you know, the valuations part of it. I thought, you know, Paul and the analytics guys, they did their really nice job of just kind of coming up with some reports and ideas with regards. And I thought that was good. And then we had 20 days or 17 days of college draft meetings, and I thought the college guys did a wonderful job. So I've been really impressed so far with how we've kind of laid out our plan, and hopefully we can execute it.
Is it hard almost waiting for March 14th for free agency to start? Because I have to imagine it's kind of like a kid looking forward to Christmas. You know you have great presents potentially under the tree, and you want to get to unwrap them and find out what you're going to end up with.
No, I kind of live in the moment. And,
okay.
You know, you plan for the future, but I live in the moment as well.
That's right. You learn from the past.
Exactly.
I believe I've heard you say that before. All right, Mr. Dorsey, when you look at, let's talk free agency, looking at this roster, because you spent four weeks with this team and got to see this football team,
exactly.
which is not something an incoming general manager often gets to do. So when you did that, let's start there. What was one of the biggest things that you learned in those 4 weeks around the Cleveland Browns?
First off, it's invaluable to have a chance to actually see the players practice and play in the games, watch the coaching staff teach and develop. Actually, from an organizational standpoint, understand the passion that evolves within the building itself, where people actually understand that the most important asset in your organization are those men in that locker room and add the support to help them prepare on Sunday. I mean, that's beautiful. And you get that type of buy-in, and everybody's working on one thing. That's, to me, is invaluable. It's given me an opportunity to sit down and meet people one-on-one and just kind of find out who they are as people, who they're family about. Because at the end of the day, we're in this thing for so many hours a day. It's also good to kind of say, you know what, let's find out about the person and see, you know, we have like-mindedness thinking. That was invaluable.
Did anything surprise you in those 4 weeks? Maybe something you had a preconceived notion about that being around the team or around the players or just around the Cleveland Browns environment that really surprised you?
How passionate the fans are. I knew they were passionate. It's like when I went to the gas, there's a Speedway gas station up in Berea. And I went one day, I think it was a Sunday, I was getting ready to go to the game. I was going early down to the stadium. And all of a sudden, this school bus pulls up, and it's a remodeled school bus. It's got a big helmet on it. It's got a big dog face on the front of it. All these guys getting ready to go to the game are hopping off the bus. And I'm going, now that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a very, very passionate fan base.
Oh, it's awesome.
Hungry. Listen, you know when you come here, you turn this thing around, as I think everybody believes that you certainly can. There'd be statues from John Dorsey all around this town. That's how passionate, how much they want this team to
this
be successful.
This does not get done by one individual. It is a collection of individuals, the whole organization.
They'll all get statues.
It's everybody. You know what? Just put one big brown helmet up there. That's all I care about.
That's all you care about. All right, let's talk about when you watch tape, because we have a lot of people who call the show and listen, and Browns fans, it's been the draft, has been the focus, so they watch, you know, prospects. What's one piece of advice you'd give to an amateur out there, or just somebody at home who wants to watch tape and learn how to watch tape? What's the most important piece of advice you ever got about how to watch tape and evaluate players?
How do they play against a competition? Regardless of what level you're on, either it be 1A, 1AA, Division 2, Division 3, NAIA. How does he play against his competition? If I'm a lower-level guy, do I dominate my competition? That usually stands out. But realistically, I would say 83% of the players in the National Football League do come from Division 1.
Yep.
So, you know, spend the majority of your time on Division 1 players.
When you're deciding, because it's usually hard to watch. There's so many players to watch every game for a player. How do you select which four games or six games you want to watch of a
given competition.
Player? Best competition.
I've always believed if you're going to watch a player, watch him against the best, because when he gets in the National Football League, pretty good players.
Yeah.
So watch him play against real football players. Like, you know, when I watch the corner from Ohio State,
okay,
guess what? I'm going to watch him against like an Oklahoma team. I mean, that, you know, you're going to watch him against really good football teams.
Yeah, and vice versa. For Baker, you want to watch him against that Ohio State defense that's going to send a lot of guys to the NFL.
Ohio State's got a really fast defense. Actually, I went to the USC Ohio State at the Cotton Bowl.
Uh-huh.
My God, to watch the speed and the job that Greg Schiano did from a game standpoint, but to watch the speed on Ohio State's defense, impressive.
Yeah, and think about all the guys they've sent to the NFL from that defense just the last couple of years.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good how they reloaded down there. It'd be nice if you just recruit them right in. All right, so the draft, obviously important. You help some people out with some scouting tips there. I want to talk to you about, because we've heard so much, the Browns want a veteran quarterback. The Browns want a quarterback at the top of the draft. You have a kid 21 years old in DeShone Kizer who certainly progresses as the season went on, produced 375 yards of offense himself, week 17 against the Steelers, which you saw, the game against Green Bay, which you saw. Where does he fit in to all of this? And what do you think of DeShone in his rookie season and him just as a prospect? Because he just turned 22, so he still very much is a young guy.
He's a very young man. I think what people do not realize is, regardless of position, how hard it is to make that transition into the National Football League. And then when you have a position like the quarterback position, it gets doubly as tough. Because these guys have been playing football, if you take it all the way back to the next, I would say the summer before, where they've been training and all the way up, and they've really never had a chance to take a break. Now he's got a chance. I've always said the biggest change in players is from year one to year two, where they will grow exponentially because they are solely focused on the task at hand. They're familiar with their surroundings. They're familiar with the playbooks. They understand what their weaknesses are, and they will develop and work upon them. This offseason, you know, I can't wait to see him come back in the OTAs because I think he's going to make exponential strides, and that's the competitive nature that you want. You want to be able to have those guys develop and fit into a role and see what happens.
Let's say you end up with Deshaun, a young quarterback that you draft early, you think highly of. How important is it to get another quarterback in that room who's actually won a game in the NFL that can kind of help these guys who are still, you know, it could be if you draft Darnold, for example, 20 and 22 years old in that quarterback
room.
Well,
you still got Cody and you still got Kevin in that room too right now. So, again, it's called, you know, you want to stockpile as many talented players as you got. And that's now with the, you know, with Coach Z now in there, the leadership of Coach Z. I can't wait to see the impact he has on that room.
What do you think about that offensive staff now that Hughes assembled, bringing in Ken Zampezi, who he worked with extensively in Cincinnati, and then, of course, Todd Haley, a guy who's been incredibly successful as a head coach with the Chiefs. He had a very good offense there, and then obviously the last 6 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the number two ranked offense in the NFL over that time. What does he bring to this organization, and what can he do to that offensive side of the ball?
I think, first and foremost, it talks about the leadership of Hugh and being able to get player or get coaches like Todd Haley. To go, you know, I mean, to go get all the offensive players that, or the offensive coaches that we've added to the staff, there's some pretty good coaches here.
Right.
Not only are they good coaches, they're good teachers. And fundamentally, you want those guys to teach men. But then systematically, when you had Todd's system in there, yeah, he's got a pretty good system. He's got a pretty good track record with it. So I'm excited to see him develop that. And, you know, now my sole responsibility is get him some more pieces. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to help him. Develop, you know, make his offense hum by getting better, you know, get more players. Not better players, but more players.
When you look at the game of the NFL just as a whole, because a lot of people talk about best player available, but best player available, I imagine, fits into some framework of how important that position is in your mind to winning football games. What are the five most, take quarterback out of it, what are the most important positions as you see it in the modern NFL game linked directly to winning in the NFL?
We've actually, we've played this scenario more than once. Me personally, we've had a lot of discussion with it. Me personally, it's got to be quarterback. Everybody knows that.
Yep, number one.
So then what I would say is it's got to be, this is where we begin to differ a tad, it's got to be pass rusher, corner.
Okay.
I say left tackle and then receiver.
Okay. Interesting. So at the top three or top four, really actually all five, are around the passing game. You need to be able to have a quarterback who can throw the football, protect him, give him weapons, and then the guys on the other side, who can stop that?
I mean, the game has evolved so much, not only vertically, but it's also spread you out horizontally, too. It opens up different options for offensive coordinators to do, and then when you have the RPOs in place as well, that changes the whole dynamics of this. So
it's an interesting thing. We were talking on the show last week about the correlation between the best passing defenses in the NFL and making the playoff. And when you couple that with if you're a top 10 passing offense and a top 10 passing defense, chances are you're going to have a lot of success in the NFL.
Pretty high. I would agree with that.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you very much for the time. I know you're very busy here, and I think it's exciting that you've got this identification, and you have a lot of money and a lot of assets in the draft to go ahead and fill those needs and get this team where I think you and everybody wants it to be, and that is winning football games on
Sundays. We get a little Godspeed with us, too. We'll be okay.
All right. John Dorsey, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, thank you for the time.